I said, God is good. Let's pray over the Word this morning. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that it's Your Word that brings life. Lord, we don't ever want to get it too far away from Your Word. We thank You that it corrects us, it directs us, it keeps us steady, Lord. We just want to honor You and praise You and glorify You, God, for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's so good. Let's just spend a minute in prayer over what's going on in Afghanistan right now. And it's on my heart. I know it's on everybody's heart. But we don't want to get political. We don't want to do any of that. We just want God to touch the people that are affected. So, Father, we come before You in Jesus' name as a church. And we lift up the situation that's going on right now in Afghanistan, where families are being separated, people are being tortured, people are being slaughtered, and Christians, Lord, are having to make choices. And we ask You, God, to just be with them, to touch them, to give them grace, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your mercy over them. Lord, we just want to honor You and praise You and thank You. And Lord, I want to pray specifically for all of the veteran men and women who've gone over there and fought and did service for their country. God, and even at this time, they can feel abandoned. And we just ask You, God, to be over them and touch them. And we just come, Father, to You and just declare Your mercy over the whole situation. You're not caught by surprise, Lord. And we know that the end is coming, Lord. And we just thank You, Father, for touching that whole situation in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. God's good. I just got to tell you, I heard this report this morning. And it's from a fellow who actually has had ministry over there for a long, long time. And he was talking because he's in communication with people that are still in country, Christians that are still in country. And he said it's been really miraculous, he said, because Jesus has appeared to some of them to say, go over here and do this, and it's helped them to get out, right? I mean, there's been supernatural direction. But this is what struck me the most is what he said. He said, but he also heard from some of his people that are in country, and I'm talking about Afghanis who are saved and born again. They said, no, we feel like, and we're praying for, a revival in the Taliban. Right. We're staying here. We're not getting out. We're not leaving because we feel like we're called to preach. To think about this, to the Taliban. What's courage? What resolve? What knowing that if they mention the name of Jesus, the next thing that could come is, whatever, right? But I just believe God's going to touch them and be with them even in that, right? Glory to God. So good. So good. If you'll open your Bibles, I think we stopped last week, and we're going to begin again this week. And really, the title of this message is God in the Now, Right Now. God with you right now. Not the past, not the future, like we said last week, but God in us right now. We have to recognize Him in our lives here right now. His presence is here right now. He is with me right now. Come on. Come on. So whatever I'm going through, He's with me. Now, He's been with me in the past, and I praise God, and I give testimony of how He's delivered me, how He's saved me, how He's paid my bills, how He's healed my body, all of those things. I praise God for that. But if I'm living in that, then I can miss Him right here, right now. And I promise you that no matter what you're going through, God is with you. I promise you, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said He'd come to live within you. Those who are born again, those who've made Jesus the Lord of their lives, the Spirit of God lives within you. And we've got to remember that. We've got to walk with confidence with that. And we've got to partake of that on a constant basis. I'm going to give you this revelation, and I started to share it last week, but just this is really deep, so get your ears on and catch this. Now is now. Now is now. Now is not tomorrow. Now is not yesterday. Now is not even an hour from now. It'll be now when the hour gets up, but now is now. But come on. Now is right now. So I need God with me right now. I'm going to need Him in an hour, but I don't have to worry about the hour because He'll be there in an hour. Now is right now. See, we get into worry about what's going to happen because we forget that He's going to be with me whenever happens. Amen. Right? Right? Sometimes life happens. I don't like all that life brings. Honestly, Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulations. I don't like them. I don't. I don't like it when people leave. I don't like it when people die. I don't like many things in my life. But what I do like is that He's with me. And I can testify that He'll help us through the things, right? Because He's the God of the now. Hallelujah. See, we can plan for the future, but we can't add worry to the future. Right? It's okay to have a plan for the future. But the Bible even says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. What does that mean? He's going to guide my steps. If I keep my eyes on Him, it's this simple, but it's this hard. It's like, okay, Lord, what now? Okay, Lord, what now? Okay, Lord, what am I supposed to say next? Okay, Lord, how am I supposed to finish this sermon? Lord, how am I going to finish the service? I have to believe that He's speaking to me and His anointing is on me right now. But not just because I'm pastor and a minister and I have the mic, but tomorrow morning when I wake up and I start my day, I go, okay, Lord, what now? And then when 10 o'clock comes, Lord, what about now? Lord, I got this phone call, Lord, and I don't know what to do, but Lord, You're with me, and so I want to thank You for right now. Lord, we're planning for, we've got a building fund for a church building and all of that, but Lord, what about right now? What am I supposed to do right now? I hope You're getting it right now. God, You've given me vision for the future, and I have a plan for the future, but the reality, the only thing that I can absolutely be in control of is right now. And even right now sometimes seems out of control. Right? Come on. Right now seems out of control. Why do I know that? Because I have a mind that spins like yours spin. Well, okay, maybe not as much as ladies spin, but men are slower. We're just slower, that's all. We're just not as deep as y'all. Right? Glory to God. It's true. It's true. But go to Proverbs chapter 3, and many of you know these verses, and we're going to hit them real quickly. We started last week to talk about them, but I feel impressed to go back and look at them again. Proverbs chapter 3, many of you can quote them. I have it actually on the dashboard of my car, this particular verse, but it behooves us to look through this again. Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 5. It says, to trust in the Lord with part of your heart. What? So when do you need to trust Him? All your heart, but when? All the time, right? Trust Him. And when can you trust Him? The only time you can really trust Him is now. Right? Think about it. I can't trust Him for my past. I can trust Him to deal with my past, but I can't trust Him for my past. My past is already past. And I can't trust Him for my future because I don't really know what my future is going to hold, but I can trust Him now. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Boy, that sounds easy. It's not. It's not. It's a constant thing that we have to continually remind ourselves that God is in the now. He's with me right now. So I'm going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. And I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. In all of my ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct my path. What does that mean? Most of us do like, Lord, I just trust You. I thank You, Lord, for Your wisdom. I thank You that You're going to direct me and You guide me. And then you get in the midst of a situation, you go, well, I think I'll do this. And I think I'll do that. And I think I'll do this. And boy, I better pressure this one to do this. Or I better, you know, work on this one. Or I better call that person and have them do. And God might direct you to do all of those things. But oftentimes what we need to do in the now is to get quiet and listen to our hearts rather than the emotion of our head that's spinning all around us. Come on, come on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean under your own understanding. Some people have taken this literally and they don't think at all. But that's not what it's saying, right? You're supposed to think. You're supposed to use your mind. You're supposed to use your logic. You're supposed to do all of those things, but you're not supposed to trust them. Who do I trust? I trust Him. Because sometimes things don't work out like you plan. And mainly, it's because other people are involved. I love people, but we're all messed up, right? And you don't think like I think. You can't help it that you're wrong. Listen, no, I'm just kidding, right? I can only say that because Renita's in the back. But watch this. My understanding is not the final thing because I don't know the whole picture. I know the truth as I see the truth, but the truth that I see isn't always the truth. Because I see like this. I see through my past. I see through my pain. But we have to trust in the Lord and not lean to our understanding, but acknowledge Him in everything. What does that look like? Lord, this is what I think. And this is what I think I should do. But before I take another step, I want Your opinion. I want Your leading. I want Your guiding. Now, as I'm saying that, I need you to understand that I'm not talking about that you're going to hear an audible voice 24/7. Because that's not the way God speaks to us. He speaks to us with thoughts. And so if you'll quiet your mind down and say, Lord, what are You thinking? And allow the Spirit of God to speak from His Spirit to your spirit. And you'll learn to hone in on, I can say it many different ways, but listen to your gut. And if there's not peace there, stop and go a different direction. Right? Because that's the way God will lead you. Sometimes God leads you by saying, hold it. Or on the inside, it's uneasy. How many have ever said something and later thought, I shouldn't have said that? Some of us men are paying for that 20 years later. But anyway, watch this. It's like, I believe the Lord, if you'd have listened to Him, He said, don't say that. And if you'd obeyed, you wouldn't have to eat the fruit of what He said. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Everywhere I go, Lord, I thank You that You're with me. I thank You that You're with me. I thank You that You're with me. How many know that anxious thoughts come? We talked about that a little bit last week and on Wednesday. Anxious thoughts come. What does that look like? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. How am I going to get through this? Oh, God, this is terrible. Right? We all get there. But the reality is that we're not to take any of those. Jesus said it this way, take no thought saying. In other words, the thoughts are coming, but you don't have to take them. How do you not take them? You trust in the Lord. The thought may say, well, you're never going to make it. What are you going to do? You're going to be out on the street. You're going to be... Look it. I'm sure there are people in Afghanistan right now, they're going, I don't know, we gave our heart to Jesus, and what's happening right now? I'm telling you that God is with every one of them, and they can trust Him and acknowledge Him, and He will direct their path. Right? Come on, let's go on. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of your increase, so that your barns will be filled and with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. It does not cost to trust the Lord. It pays. It doesn't cost to fear the Lord. It pays. Now, sometimes it's not, I work today, I get paid tomorrow. Sometimes it's a process of time. Because God's working on us and He's working on other people. But the reality is Lord, I just want to please You. I'm just going to divert a little bit for just a second. You know, when you got saved, you gave Jesus your heart. You made Him the Lord of your life. At that point, something should have changed in you. Because your eternal Father switched. You went from serving the God of this world to the God of the universe. And in that, watch that, in that, our allegiance should have shifted. And what I mean by that is this. That Lord, from this day forward, all I want to do is what You want me to do. I just want to please You. I want You to be pleased with me. And the fear of the Lord looks like that. It's like, Lord, I want Your honor. I want Your respect. I want more than anything else, Lord, if it costs me everything. Everything, Lord. I just want You to be pleased with me. That's what I'm living my life for, You to be pleased with me. Now you may even said that or felt that when you got saved, but then life happens. Frustrations come. People happen. Jobs happen. Life happens. And we've got to remind ourselves that, Lord, right now, right here, right now, I've got to trust in You because You're Lord of my life. And I'm going to fear You. I'm going to walk beside You. Come on. Isn't that awesome? Look at verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father does his son, whom he delights. If we're going to wait on the Lord, there's times He's going to tell you something you don't like. If God hasn't corrected you in a while, I would back up and say that you probably haven't been in the relationship with God that you should be. I'm not talking about condemnation, but I'm talking about, no, don't do that. No, don't say that. Come on. No, that's not right. Don't act like that. It's not okay. See, He's guiding you to put you on a better path. How many want the Lord to direct them? Correction is a part of that. Right? If I'm dead set on going that way, but the Lord says that's not the way that I want you to go, then I've got to listen to His correction in order to go back the other way. It's not rocket science, but watch this. I've got to be open, and my heart has got to be open to Him. Glory to God. Look at verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs is all full of wisdom. It says you got to seek for it. You got to go after it. You got to look for it. But you're not going to find wisdom if you're always right. You're not going to find wisdom if you've already concluded the answer to what you're asking. You'll only find wisdom when your heart is open to hear what God has to say. And He might say it to your heart gently, or He might use somebody else to rebuke you. How many want to be on the side of the wise rather than the side of the fools? And I'm not saying these guys are fools, but the side of fools. I want to be wise, right? I want to walk in wisdom. I want to walk as God wants me to walk. In order to do that, I have to understand that I don't know everything and that God may use somebody else to bring something else into my life. And I can't be foolish and not listen to it. You know, I haven't done an official poll, but I know this, that most of us have complained more about other people in our arguments, in our relationships, than we've repented for us. Why? Because we're more right than they are. This isn't going over very well, but it's okay. It's okay. Watch this. But if we're going to walk with the Lord, we're going to trust the Lord, we have to be open to the Lord. Lord, what is your opinion? And I need to get my opinion out of the way because I want to walk with you right now. I want to walk with you right now. And Jesus wants us to be one with Him. Did you know that? Did you know Jesus prayed for you? Go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. You know, the church, and I say the church overall, has gotten so into the spirit of division that God is just up there going, stop! The devil's got us this one against that one, and vaxxers, anti-vaxxers, mask wearers. I mean, it doesn't matter. And if that doesn't work, he'll get something else to get us fussing and fighting about. When the church ought to just get back on our face before God and say, God, I just want to be one with you. This is about me and you. John chapter 17. Read the whole chapter because it's so incredible because Jesus is about to die and he's talking, when it says that he's praying, he's talking to God. He's talking to his Father. He's going to face the crisis of eternity for him because he's going to take on sin and he's going to take our place. And so he's going to be separated for just a moment from his Father, right? But he's saying, look, I'm about to go, but I need to talk to you about something. I want to talk to you about the people that are mine. That's right, Zach. That's us. And we'll see that in a minute. But look at verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. How many believe that when you got saved, you got eternal life? You know what eternal life is? Knowing God. It's an intimate knowing of God. It's an intimate relationship with God based on the covenant that you have with Him, which was cut between His Son and Him. What's eternal life? That I might know God. What does that have to do with what I'm talking about? Everything. Because God is in my now because I know Him. And I can be known of Him. And He wants me to increase in the knowledge of Him. He wants me to know what He thinks. He wants me to know what He wants me to do. And I have that eternal life right now. Go to verse 14. Jesus is praying now and He says, I've given them your word. And the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. How many have trouble in your life or have had troubles. Right? I mean, not everything is peachy keen and you, that's a saying from a long time ago. Not everything is peachy keen and there are struggles that you're facing even right now. Well, Jesus just prayed for you that He's not going to take you out of that. But that you should be kept from the evil one. In other words, those folks that said, listen, we feel called to preach to the Taliban are saying, we're not getting out of Afghanistan because God has put us in here and that is our mission field and we're supposed to preach to those people. But Lord, help us, keep us from the evil one. Help use us. And some of them are going to die at the hands of the ones that God, I believe, will use them to reach. Right. So we're in the world. We're of the world, but we're not going to get out of that necessarily. But in the midst of what we're going through, we need to seek God because God will give us the plan to get through. Or He'll give us the peace to get through. I mean, I wish I could tell you that, yeah, just go to God and He'll give you the easy way out. He may give you a route that says you're going to have to go through this and it's going to be hard. But the hardness is not for your sake. The hardness is for the sake of those that you're going to affect as you go through it. Right. Are you with me? But God's going to be with you in the world as you're going through whatever you're going to go through. Right? So rather than, oh God, why haven't you gotten me through this? God, why am I going? Why, God? I think our response should be, Lord, I thank You that You're with me right now, right here. And I don't have a full understanding of everything, but I don't have to because I trust You right now with me. Right? I trust You right now with me. I don't understand everything, God, but I'm going to trust You. 15, I do not pray that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify, you know what that means? It means separate. It means to put them apart. It means to, you know, it's kind of like when you're choosing teams in a sandlot football game. It's like, I choose Johnny, well, you get over here on my side. Well, I choose George, you get over on that side. There's a sanctification, there's a separation by group. If you're saved, you've been sanctified. But the way you don't slip back over onto the other side is you keep the truth in your heart that's in the Word of God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Anyway, come on, let's go on. You have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself that they may also be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. Jesus was not just praying for the apostles, the disciples, or the followers of that day. He was praying for the ones that would get saved because of the followers of that day. And then He was praying for the ones that the followers would get saved through and on and on and on and on until somebody came to you and said, listen, I need you to tell you a story about Jesus. And then Jesus was praying for you. He's praying for me. Isn't that awesome? Even back then. Verse 21. That they may be one as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they may also be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. Here's what I'm saying. If you'll begin to realize and begin to act on and begin to live out of a now God relationship, the people that are out there will see God in you, because the effect of Him dealing with you on a constant basis will be known, will be seen. Come on. Right? Who's our example? Jesus! Right? He's our example. Well, we could go and just write this down in John chapter 8 and verse 26. He says, I only say the things that my Father tells me to say, which causes me to only do the things that my Father wants me to do. Are you with me? Now, I haven't necessarily done that. My life isn't full of, I've only done, since I got saved, I've only done what He's told me to do. And Lord knows, I haven't only said what He's told me to say. I believe that if I only said what He told me to say, I'd be saying a lot less. Right? But I need for Him to be speaking to me. Over and over again, Jesus said this, I need to get away. And there were times where he went out and he prayed all night. Have you ever tried to pray all night? It's pretty tough. We're going to have an all-night prayer meeting. Yeah, right. And starts out at 7 o'clock. Well, by 9, a lot of people go. 11, there's a few left. By 1, everybody's asleep. Right, right. But why could he pray all night? Because he wasn't just talking. He was listening. And there was a conversation going on. I believe God wants to speak to each one of us on a consistent basis. And our prayer life needs to be more of learning to listen as well as speaking, because God wants us to speak. He wants us to tell us what's going on in our lives. He wants us to tell us our hurt, to tell Him our hurts, all of that, but He also wants us to listen. See, God in the now is where I am listening to what He has to say. And you think, well, I just can't do that. My life is so busy, so scheduled. Listen, how long does it take? It doesn't take long. Whether you're in the office, you're on the job, you're in the car, whatever, Lord, I'm just shutting everything off and I'm just going to rest in You for a minute. I just need to hear from You because I need to know what to do right now. Right now. You know what He'd tell you? He'd say, trust in Me. Then He'd say, praise Me. Then He'd say, thank Me. Why? Because He needs it? No, because you need to have your focus where it belongs. Come on, the God in the now. God doesn't need our worship because His ego requires it. He needs our worship because our focus requires it. All right, I'm going to have to quit in a minute. But it's going to be a minute. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And I may have to finish this again next week. But watch this. James chapter 4. And I was going to go 6 through 10, but we're going to shorten that up a little bit. Go to verse 7. It says, therefore submit to God. That's living in the now. When are you supposed to submit to God? Always. Right now. Submit to Him right now. Submit to Him right now. Resist the devil, and he will flee you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. That ought to be a promise we just shout about. If all I got to do is draw near to Him, and He'll draw near to me, woo, I can do that. I can do that. When? Right now. I can do that right now. Yeah, but I don't have time. How long does it take? Father, here I am. I come before you in Jesus' name. But you just finished one meeting and you have to go to another meeting in a couple of minutes. We'll just say, just a minute, just a second. I'll be there in just a minute. You say, Father, I thank you that you're with me. That was a rough meeting, Lord. You know it. And you know my mind is spinning. But I'm just going to trust you, God, with what needs to happen because of that meeting and what's going to happen in the next meeting. I just want to thank you and praise you that you're with me right here, right now. Right now. Come on. All right, look at verse 10. Go to 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. I got to read you this. This is a definition of humility by Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray, a great man of God, wrote several books, and I've read several of his books. But listen to this. Humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is to be done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It's to be at rest when nobody praises me, and when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord, where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret, and I'm at peace Him in a deep sea of calmness when all those around and above is when all around and above is trouble. Anybody want me to read that again? Come on. And humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It's to be at rest when nobody praises me. And then when I'm blamed or despised, it is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in, shut the door, and kneel to my Father in secret, and am at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around and above is trouble. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. That means to get quiet in your heart, knowing that He's with you, know that He loves you, know that He's accepted you, know that you're His beloved. Right? To wonder at nothing that is done to me. I don't understand. I don't know why she said this. I don't know why they did this. I don't know why they left. I don't know what is going on, Lord. And I'm not going to put a lot of focus into the whys. You know my heart. You know my heart's broken right now. But God, I'm putting myself before you, and I'm humbling myself in the place of peace that only comes from you. Are you listening? Come on, come on. Is this easy to do? Well, I'll tell you, the results are a lot better than if you don't do it. Again, the scripture says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. What does that look like? I'm broken, God. I'm hurting, God. This hurts. This sucks. Lord, you know what they did to me, Lord, but I'm going to quiet my heart in your presence. My existence has nothing to do with what they did or what they said or how they said it. I just want to hear what your opinion is. And if I need correction, God, I'll be corrected. If I need to shake the dust off and go on, Lord, that's what I'll do. But I need you to be in the now so I can know how to move toward my future. So that we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct our paths. So let's humble ourselves before God. Quiet our hearts and let Him be God. Amen. Y'all get something this morning? Let's pray. Let's pray. Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Lord, we thank You for verifying this word to my heart first and then to everybody else's heart. But Lord, we just pray for all of those who here in the room and those that listen now or later on Facebook or YouTube, God, we just, my whole purpose, God, is for You to touch them, to bless them, for them to see something a little bit different, God, that they can allow You to come in a little bit different way. The deal is if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you cannot have a relationship with God like I'm talking about. But it's real simple, but it costs everything for you to say with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. He's the Messiah. He's the one that I need to follow. And that God's raised Him from the dead, justifying and validating an acceptance of His penalty for my sin. So I give You my life, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, then Jesus is Lord of your life, and you just changed families. So now you can trust in the Lord and walk with Him, get in His Word, speak to Him, talk to Him, and listen to what He has to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us.